Revelation chapter 14, verse 13, please. Chapter 14, verse 13, the context is in the tribulation period. And it says there, and I heard, verse 13, and I heard this is John the Apostle, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours, and their works do follow them. I guess for most of my life, I've considered myself as a young person. It's true. Even as I've gotten older, and I guess this sermon tonight has been born out of the fact of the last 2 years of my life. And I've become very much aware I'm nudging up to 70. And I've never been there before. And I always thought that I was young. Now, I'm thankful for the strength and the energy that the Lord has given to me. But over the last couple of years, there's been a few changes in this old tabernacle of mine that I live in. I've never worn glasses till I was 67. And I went down to Specsavers and ordered a pair or two pairs. I don't have the bifocals, which I'm told are a lot better. And the man put the glasses on me that they thought were good for me, and I was looking at a brochure and I thought, that looks clear. And then I took my glasses off and I couldn't believe that for many years I'd been studying the Word and in my study without glasses. And what a great help that they will be to me. My hearing's going. And my wife in particular is saying, you know, hearing aids and so on. Dentures. I'm not after any sympathy tonight. I'm just using this as an illustration. And I had a motorbike accident in 1973. I smashed my pelvis, my femur bone, compound fracture. The bone come through the top of the leg. And recently arthritis is setting in there. And over the last 6 months or so, I'm not sure, Brother Rissa, we were talking this morning. I did take the vaccinations. I didn't want to, but I did take them. I've had some murmurings going on of sitting at my office and a little, I don't know how to describe it actually. A murmuring, a twinge, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, I've never had that before. I don't know what it is. I went down to the doctor and they checked me out, blood tests and MRIs and everything. Said, no, go home, you're okay. I'm not sure, I don't know what it is. And I'm to be honest with you, I'm not worried about it. But the point that I want to make tonight is that I've been very aware and thinking about like never before, and you might be here as a young person tonight and dying is the last thing on your mind. You know, it's just not on the radar. And I understand that. I really do. But I'm very aware now of dying than I've ever been before. I've never been aware of it before. And tonight I want to speak. I know that it might sound a little bit morbid. David Zuf asked me to bring a devotion, and this is what was on my mind, as I said this morning. And I spoke, they have a sort of an amphitheatre in a park near where their church is in Ferntree Gully. And the church people were there, and there was a family sitting at the top. And I got up and I said, I want to speak on the subject of dying. And I was 5 minutes into it, and this man and his family, they got up and walked away. And I thought, well, I don't blame him. I want to speak on the subject of dying. My outline tonight is this. Number one, the brevity of life. Number two, our lives are in the hands of God. Number three, an appointment none of us can avoid. And number four, death for the unbeliever. And then number five, death for the believer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the promises in the Bible that they are yea and amen. We thank you for the promise of eternal life. We thank you for that great verse in the book of Titus, chapter 1, verse 3, that you have promised eternal life and you are a God that cannot lie. And Lord, we can take the promises in the Word of God to the bank. And Lord, we thank you for the blessed hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray that you will help me to be straightforward, succinct tonight, get to the point, and just commit to you the evening, the business meeting after, a matter of business to attend at the church. And we just commit our evening to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Firstly, I want to just speak on the brevity of life. The Bible speaks about our earthly lives in these terms. Psalms 103, verse 14, he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. Verse 15, as for man, his days are as grass, as the flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, the place thereof shall know it no more. Psalms 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labour and sorrow. For it is soon cut off, and we fly away. 2 Corinthians 5:1, an earthly house, a tabernacle of our bodies. James chapter 4, verse 14, for what is your life? It is even a vapour, which appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. The word little is the word oligos, small, brief, short. Our lives on this earth, dust, grass, flower, vapour, and a tent. Number two, our lives are in the hands of God. The man Caleb said in Joshua chapter 14, verse 10, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. As he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He was a fit, strong young man. At 85, they said he was, or the Bible says he had the energy of a 40-year-old man, a bit like the man Floyd Risser here tonight. Daniel said to King Belshazzar, Daniel 5:23, the God in whose hand thy breath is. Not long ago, well, a fair while ago, actually, I met a man in Melbourne. I'd never met him before. I'd heard about him. He was a missionary, American missionary here in Queensland by the name of Wayne Harper. And I got to know him very briefly. My wife and I organised Pastor and Wives Days down in Melbourne amongst the pastors down there, and he came along, and I got to meet him, and I thought, what a fine man this man is. And then he contracted some lung disease, like that. And I heard he was very sick, and I went to visit him over the other side where he was living with his wife. What was his wife's name, Simone? Mrs. Harper. Angela. And he was sitting there in his room, and he said, it takes me half an hour to get from the bedroom to the bathroom, a couple of metres away. And then he died. The Bible says that Daniel said to Belshazzar, the God in whose hand thy breath is. In Acts chapter 17, verse 28, Paul was on Mars Hill. He said to the Greeks, addressing their unknown God, the sign that he saw when he came into the city. And he said, for in him, this is the God that I'm revealing to you, this unknown God, the God that I know, for in him we live and move and have our being. And the fact is, as the man testified tonight, you don't wake up tomorrow morning. You won't leave this building tonight, but by God say so. Our lives, our very existence, is in the hands of God. Number three, death is an appointment none of us can avoid. Ecclesiastes 3:2. There's a time to be born and a time to die. Hebrews 9:27. As it is appointed unto men once to die, but after that the judgment. I came across an article in the newspaper down in Melbourne, and there was this young man with his a partner standing there, and they were involved in what's, I should have kept the article, but I didn't, and it's called nanotechnology. It's something to do with atoms and molecules. And they were of the belief system that you, this is true, this is what people are doing, that you freeze the body, and then in 70 or 100 years' time, you thaw it out, and it comes back to life. And they're setting up a laboratory in Victoria to accommodate a certain amount of bodies. I think they can cater for about 130. And if you get in quick enough, you can sign up, and it only costs you $70,000. And the man said his only concern was, what would the world be like in 100 years' time? Would he know anybody? The Bible says, is appointed unto man once to die, after that the judgment. Death is an appointment none of us can avoid, and when it comes, it's final, and it comes unexpectedly. When I was young, I played cricket, and I enjoy the cricket. I don't like all the new fast stuff. I like a test match. And so I was just recently, two of our Australian cricketers, one was Dean Jones. He was commentating on the Indian Premier League. He was in his hotel mucking around in the hallway hitting a golf ball with one of the fast bowlers, Brett Lee. He went to bed that night, had a heart attack and died. You may have heard, I don't know if you've heard of Shane Warne, Australian spin bowler, 52 years of age, in Thailand at a health farm on a juice fast. And they went down to check him out to go for dinner or something or other, and he had a heart attack and died. My mechanic is a Sri Lankan man by the name of Sen. And I went down there a little while ago to book my car in or call in for something, not book it in, because I phone up. And the Italian man who works there, Gino, came out of the office. He said, I've got some sad news. I said, what is it? He said, Sen has died. My mechanic for 20 years. Got cancer. Didn't know that he had it. 12 days later, he was dead. You know, I could go on. We heard from the pulpit here tonight. And death is a reality. It's when it comes, it's final, and it can come very unexpectedly. Death is an appointment none of us can avoid. Number four, death for the unbeliever is a frightening experience. Both Ephesians 2:12 and 1 Thessalonians 4:13 speaks of those who are outside of Christ as having no hope. No hope. Marie Curie, the French scientist, wrote this in her journal about her husband. One day, Pierre suddenly left the house, intending to be gone only a few minutes. With this in mind, he had not even kissed his wife. On the street, tragedy greeted him. He was run over by a carriage and killed instantly. The story of Marie Curie's awful grief is a tragic revelation of the hopelessness of unbelief. Her diary recorded her thoughts at the time. Your coffin was closed and I could see you no more. They came to get you. A sad company. We saw you go down into the deep, big hole. They filled the grave and put flowers on it. Everything is over. Pierre is sleeping in his last sleep beneath the earth. It is the end of everything. Everything. Everything, she wrote. Death for the unbeliever is a frightening experience here in Revelation chapter 14, referring to those who are unbelievers in the tribulation. Just look at it with me, Revelation 19 verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or on his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast in his image and who receiveth the mark of his name. And that's a frightening concept for me. I can't get my mind around it, that being cast into the lake of fire is eternal. And after 10 million years, you say, I've had enough of this. I'm ready to repent. I've had enough. Never, ever. Never, ever. It just reminds us too, doesn't it, of the urgency of the gospel message in your community and in my community back home. Importance of the local church in a community ought never to be underestimated. Death for the unbeliever is a frightening experience. Hopelessness, no hope, the loss of everything. But for the believer, based on the facts of the truths of the Word of God that has stood the test of time, it's graduation time. It's the piece de resistance. It's the fulfillment of our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. The three phases of justification, sanctification, and glorification. The Lord Jesus said to Martha in John 11:25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. I just love the words that God uses to describe the death of the saints. Psalms 116 verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And as I meditated on this verse, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, I thought of my daughter here in Queensland. That's you, Abigail. While I live in Melbourne, part of me wants to be here in Atherton, on the tablelands here, to watch my grandsons grow up, to get to know my son-in-law a little bit better. And of course, to be here with my precious daughter. But the fact is, while I live in Melbourne, I'm absent from my family here, humanly, physically speaking. 2 Corinthians 5:6 says, while we're in these bodies, we're absent from the Lord. But let me tell you something, the moment you die, you enter into the presence of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8, absent from the body and present with the Lord. And God says, it's time to come home. This is where you belong. You are a fellow citizen. You didn't really belong down there. You were just passing through, a pilgrim and a stranger. That wasn't your home. Your home is up here. And God says, come on home. Precious. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. How good is that? Revelation 14:13 says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. The word blessed means to be supremely blessed by God. Blessed, what a word to use in association with death. What a word to use the word precious and blessed in association with dying. You know, in fact, so precious and so blessed is death for the believer. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Philippi, bring it on. I'm looking forward to it. In fact, I had a little taste of it there when I was telling the Corinthians about it. I think it's 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And God took me for a visit up there. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. And when his time came, he said, no big deal. I'm ready to go. For I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. For I know whom I believe, and I am persuaded, I am convinced, that which I've committed unto him, that decision I made there on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9, that I'm persuaded that he is able to keep that decision that I made, to trust Christ as my Saviour, committed unto him against that day. The Apostle Paul welcomed and invited death, and he was ready for it. And I hope you're here tonight, and you're able to say with the Apostle Paul, time of my departure is at hand. I'm ready. My bags are packed. There's There's no other business for me left unfinished on this earth. I'm right with my church. I'm right with my fellow believers. There's no bones rattling in the closet. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Prophet Amos said to the Israelites, prepare to meet thy God. Amos 4:12. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Let's pray, shall we? Father in heaven, we thank you for the promises in the word of God. We thank you, Lord, for our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we just thank you that we can come to church, and part of the services here at this church is we see the emphasis here on the beautiful wooden pulpit and the teaching and the preaching that will come from this pulpit out into the congregation, and how we need to hear your word, Lord, on a weekly basis, and the importance of being faithful coming, and to be faithful to be an encouragement to the new pastor. And so, Lord, we just thank you for all these things tonight. We just ask your blessing now as we dismiss the fellowship, the business meeting, to get those matters dealt with. We thank you. We've heard today about the ministry of the Johnsons, the need, I think it was, of a visa, and the arrangements to be made there. And Lord, we just think of the family of the man who has passed away today. I don't know who they are. Just pray for this family. You would comfort them in a special way at this time of the loss of maybe a husband and a father. And we just commit that family to you tonight. We just commit to you now our time together. Ask your blessing on the evening. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen.